excuse the delay in returning your tape to you. But I had a little trouble with a cassette recorder, and I had to get a new one. So now we'll see if we can get on with the dealie of the day. Well, first of all, you wanted to know about how I got started in baseball. Well, I'll try to give you the information as best I can. I was born in Mill Valley, California in 1908. That's across the bay from San Francisco. And I attended grammar school in Mill Valley and went to Tamalpais Union High School. And there I got started in baseball. I also pitched for the Mill Valley semi-pro team on Sundays. Oh yes, one of my teammates in high school also went into pro ball and did real well. His name is Eddie Stutch. You may remember him. I don't know. He was a right-hand pitcher and a very good one, a real good curveball. An old-time ball player by the time of Tommy Biggerstaff, a former semi-pro ball player, was driving cab and he asked me one day if I'd like to play professional ball. I said, would I? I love to play ball, and then getting paid for it, that's really something. So he contacted Buddy Ryan, the manager of the Sacramento Ball Club, for a tryout. So I came to spring training, had a tryout, signed with Sacramento, and that was the beginning of my baseball career, which lasted 26 years of pitching, 2 years of managing, and I got fired, and that was the end of my professional career. You wanted to know a little about Buzz Arlett, Oscar Eckhart, Jigger Stats, and Sam Gibson. Arlett was one of the rare ball players. He was big, he was strong, he was a switch hitter, he had power, and a real good base runner. Oscar Eckhart, he was also a big man, but one of the most peculiar hitters or orthodox hitters I've ever seen in baseball. I don't care where you pitched him, he would still hit you to left field. So we would play, and he was a left-hand hitter. We'd play him over in the left field, bunch him over there, center fielder would be over in left center, the right fielder would be in center field, and he would still get his base hits, line drives between the outfield. He was just one of those kind of fellas, put good wood on the ball all the time. Jigger Stats, that's one of the greatest outfielders I've ever seen. He was fast, he was a good base runner, and he knew how to play the hitters. He played the game scientifically. You couldn't hardly hit a ball between him. Between him and the other outfielders. He was always in the right spot at the right time. Sad Sam Gibson, one of the greatest pitchers San Francisco Seals ever had. He was a rough customer to hit. I pitched a couple of ball games against him, and we never did score many runs off of him. Well, now here we go with some of your questions. You asked what was my most memorable season with Sacramento. I think that one has to be 1942. The only season or the only time Sacramento's ever won a Pacific Coast League pennant. And I happened to be on that ball club and pitched the deciding ball game to win the pennant. Well, you also asked what was my best game that I've ever pitched. Well, it's hard to pick one out, because in 1932 I pitched a no-hit, no-run game for Sacramento against Oakland on my birthday, May the 5th. And then that 1942, the one I just mentioned a while ago, pitching the final game of the season that decided the championship for Sacramento. And then I also pitching for Stockton in the California League. You asked what my best pitch was. Well, I never had a good fastball. So my best pitch, I would say, was my curveball and control. Oh, yes, I almost forgot about one of my best seasons. That was in 1953, my last year of pitching, my 26th year of professional pitching. And I won 22 and lost 9 and was given a new car by the fans of Stockton. That was also one of my greatest thrills and best seasons. Well, you asked about if the game, has the game changed much since I started. Well, the actual playing of the game hasn't changed very much. The personnel in the office. The conditions are a lot better now. Parks are more uniform. The travel is first class. But the salaries, I think they're paying nowadays, it's just, well, I think it's outrageous. In fact, is one of these days, I think they're going to price themselves right out of existence. And also, I think the part that has changed the most is the manager's situation. In the old days, a ball player, if he didn't get along with a manager, that was it. But nowadays, they seem if they don't get along with a manager, they go upstairs and complain to the president or the general manager and what have you. Like I said, in the old days, if you went upstairs and talked to the one of the boys in the office, they'd say, what's the trouble? You'd tell him, he'd say, well, go on down on the field and do your job, and you won't have to come up here and complain. Well, as far as travel, which you asked about, I don't think there's too much change in the travel outside of the idea now that with Hawaii in the league, and they do quite a bit of flying, which we used to do mostly go by train. And to Stockton Sunday morning, we went by bus. You also asked if there was any particular hitter that was tough for me. Well, they were all tough as far as that goes. But the fellow by name of Dominic D'Alessandro, little left-hand hitter, played with San Diego for a while, and that's one fellow that I don't care what I pitched him, he'd hit a line drive in between somebody. He gave me nothing but trouble. I think he should have sent me a Christmas card. That's how well he hit me. Oh, you also asked about playing night ball. Personally, you can't beat the good old daytime. But night ball gets you a lot more people out there and helps pay the bills, so you got to go along with it. And I also like night ball because it gave me a little bit more time to go fishing. And I love to fish. You were also asked about staying out on the coast rather than playing out here than in the big leagues. Yes, after I came back in 1936 or 37, Branch Rickey called me one day and asked me if I'd like to come back up to the big leagues. So I proceeded to tell him what I thought and the way I felt, which was that I liked it here on the coast. I felt a lot better back east. I was never myself as far as that goes. The heat was just too much for me and the humidity. So he said, well, I want to thank you for being honest with me, because I'd hate like heck to make a deal and then not have you be satisfied up here. Well, our Sacramento Ball Club, when I first joined them, did not have any ties with the major leagues. So they had to take young ball players, develop them, and if possible, sell them to the big leagues, which was what kept them in business, because the crowds were not enough to keep the ball club going, so they would have to sell a player now and then to keep their heads above water. You asked about any unusual plays that I've seen or had any part of. Well, this may sound like I'm bragging, but I'm kind of proud of some of the things I did, and a couple of them came out in Ripley's Believe It or Not. One of them was one day in Sacramento, I struck out Henry Oana. I think you've heard of him. I struck him out and threw him out at first base. On the third strike, he missed the swing, and the catcher missed the ball, and it fell right between his legs, and he didn't see it. So I run in, picked up the ball, and Oana took off for first base, and I picked up the ball, like I said, and threw it to, I think it was Dolph Camilli at the time was playing first, and the throw beat Oana, which was made it a strikeout and a throwout of the same hitter at the same time. Also another play that I made while I was with the Philadelphia Athletics in 1932. Man on second and third, and a ground ball. I made an unassisted double play on a ground ball. I'll see if I can explain it to you. Man on second and third, and the ball was hit back to me. Both runners started advancing. Rick Farrell was the runner on third base, and he started for the plate, and I picked up the ball and headed him off, run him back to third base and tagged him before he got back to the bag. I looked up, and here's the fellow that was on second, had run toward third, so I took out after him and tagged him before he got back into second base. And that was the unassisted double play on a ground ball, which also came out in Ripley's Believe It or Not. As I said before, I pitched for 26 years as a professional, managed 2 years, and I enjoyed every bit of it. There's a lot, it wasn't easy. There's a lot, I loved it, but there's a lot of heartaches, a lot of bad times. Wasn't all roses. Tough on my wife because you practically have to live out of a bag or a traveling bag, a suitcase or what have you. But like I said, if I had to do over, if I had to live my life over, I would do the same thing over again. I really enjoyed baseball. Still do.